Lord, we ask that today, we thank you that we could just be silly sometimes, but we're so thankful that you love us, that you have a plan for us. We thank you for the safe arrival and delivery of this baby and Janiyah, and everything just going smooth. And we just thank you that as we invite you into our lives, as we submit to your ways, things just go smooth. Lord, I'm just amazed always at how we include you and things go smooth. You are so awesome. This morning, open our understanding and help us to have an awesome time in your word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Requirements to being God's leadership. So let's turn over to Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. And just so you know, we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. The first one is Titus 1, verse 5. God bless you. Titus 1, verse 5. Are you there? For this cause, he's talking about, and you'll see, he's talking about ordaining elders. Now, elders, bishops, presbyters are different words, all basically the same thing, which is leadership in a church. Okay? For this cause, Paul says to Titus, left I thee in Crete, or in Grand Rapids, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate or self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine or teaching both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, if you would put after those verses, which is 5 through 9, put parentheses 10 through 16, but we're not supposed to read that right now, but you go, that's the negative, talking about others that are not doing this, and we don't want to go there right now. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. In my heading, it says qualifications for overseers and deacons. Okay? So 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through, I don't remember, it's like 13. Okay? This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, an overseer, pastor, an elder, he desireth a good work. A bishop, an overseer, then must be, someone who oversees, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt or able to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, or argumentative, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God, or the house of God? not a novice, not a newcomer, not a newborn, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, a good testimony, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, or the same way, must the deacons, the ones who serve, servants in the church, be grave. What does that mean? To be dead? And honest and honorable. Okay? Not double-tongued. Not given to much wine. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, not gossips, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. What's that word exhort mean? I invite, I call near, I invoke, I beseech, I call for, I desire. So I exhort, who am also an elder. I'm also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What does he say to them? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you have to, not compulsory, not by force, but willingly. Take the oversight willingly. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples or examples or a model to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's a reward for your labor. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, or careful, or attentive, alert, because your adversary, the devil, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That word constraint, after looking it up, this is what I wrote down about it. By force or compulsorily. Okay? And then I put, not because you have to, but be willing to oversee. Now think about that. Because it says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. And then he says, not by constraint, not because you have to, not by force, but willingly. Okay? Now, if we just talked about that for right now, which is where I thought we were going to go, you know, but that's all right. We'll talk about that first. Let's talk about that. Okay? There are people, when God normally when people get married, they're opposites. Because if they were both the same, they'd be butting heads. Because any of you that are like me, find that we butt heads a little bit. Okay? Because you're like me. Like I said to somebody, I think Brother DBJ and my wife were with me, and I made the statement, the reason you always see quiet people around me is because somebody's got to do the listening. You know? You see gentle-spirited people around me, you know? And that's why. Because the people that are bold and outgoing and whatever, you know, we'll butt heads. What I'm saying is when people get married, they are opposites. And God wants to bring them to balance. It's not that one is better than the other, but the reason I said that is because you have somebody like me who had no problem taking the oversight in the family. But my wife didn't want to. It's not her nature. And it's like, no, I just let Harvey do it. But you know what? God called her to take the oversight also because she was the mom. And she was supposed to train children also. So let's use that in this understanding of this passage. When someone is in leadership, we're talking about God's leadership, requirements that God has. You don't want to be, we're going to be one of two extremes or somewhere in the middle, but I'm just saying we could be one of two extremes where I don't have any problem leading, I don't have any problem telling people what to do. Well, does that sound like God, the right spirit? No. And then you have others, no, I'll just let them do whatever they want. God just loves everybody. There's no restrictions. Just do whatever you want. Is that God? Okay. So there's got to be a balance, right? And how do we do that? Well, wherever we're coming from, we need to ask God to bring us to that balance. And God, how do you want to do it through me? So what I would like to do is I'd like to start off with one thing, because to me it's the primary thing to be in God's leadership. Okay? Now, I'm already assuming that you understand somebody needs to be saved. I'm already assuming you understand somebody needs to be, you know, submitted to, committed to, and faithful to that ministry. I'm already assuming that. To be in leadership. Because you could be that and never be on leadership. You could be those things and never be on leadership. But if you're not those things, you don't even have a chance to be on leadership. Do you understand? Now, because those things are just what's required in normal members. And then you got to understand, God calls people. God calls people, okay, to leadership. God calls people to do that. Now, but who does he call? Well, he first finds those people, those things we're already assuming. They're saved. They're submitted. They're following. They're committed in the church. And they're, what was the other thing I said? Obedient. What was the other word I used? Faithful. Okay? Out of those people, then God calls people into leadership. He says, okay, you've been faithful in a little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. I want to move you on. You follow me? Okay, now, here's the primary thing I think God wants in leadership. Is someone that would lose their life, lay their life down to give God whatever he wants. It doesn't matter what I think, what I feel, what I want, what I've done or experienced. Father, what do you want? And that, for a long time, was what I said to people when we talked to them about coming on leadership. If you're willing to do that, I feel like God wants you on leadership. But those other things have to be in place first. So there's people that have wanted to come on leadership, but they don't have those things in place yet. They're not committed. They're not submitted. They're not already doing the simple things that everybody ought to be doing in the first place, just being a follower. They're not faithful. And if they're not those things, how could they possibly be on leadership? But I'm willing to lay my life down. But these other things have to be in place first. Just because they're things that God wants in every one of us as His followers. Because to me, everything with God is like real simple. See, people are either saved or they're lost. And every one of us has to start off lost. So one of the first questions I ever ask you is, when were you lost? You know, when did you see yourself deserving to go to hell? Okay. When were you lost? When did you meet Jesus? So everything with God is black and white. It's heaven or hell. There's no middle ground. It's not like you're lost, a church member, and then saved, you know. It's not like there's a middle ground. Everything's black or white with God. Life or death. There's not something in the middle. We want to call it existing, you know. But it's either life or death. Because if somebody is not alive on this planet, they're dead. It's that simple. So let's do that with leadership. Let's do that with God. In God's kingdom, there are what do we call those people, Lord? Well, there's rebels. You know what rebels are? And then there's subjects. That's because they're subject to the rules of the kingdom. So which one are we? And when we look at people, not to judge them, but to help us discern how to help them and how to deal with them, where are they? Are they saved or are they lost? Are they a rebel? If they say they're saved, are they a rebel or are they subject? Subject means they're obedient. They're yielded. They're submitted. They're committed. They're faithful. If they're not any of those things, maybe they're a subject wannabe. Do you understand? Okay? I think the biggest qualification that God wants for His leadership, besides these normal things He wants for everybody, is that they lose their life. I was singing a song this morning. I sang it to Pastor Nate, and he was so excited that I was singing to him. I know he was just excited. Invited me to join the choir and everything, you know. Anyway, it was not God's call. But anyway, and he was thankful. So, yeah. So, and the song is, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you and the glory of your name. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. So let me give you an idea. I don't want to give you an idea. I want you to give me ideas. What does it look like to lay your life down? What would it look like to lay your life down to give God whatever He wants? What would that look like? Do you have an idea? What thoughts come to your mind when we say that? Lay your life down to be willing to give God whatever He wants. You know something? There's two extremes. There's, let's say, you, and let's say there's me. There's me. I'm willing to lead. And what God has to do is break me of being willing to step out in my own strength, my own wisdom, my own ideas, my own power. I can make it happen. He has to break you of looking at yourself also and saying, in your own will, I don't want to. It's not comfortable. I'd rather just follow. And He's like, that's not what I designed you to do. So I have to be willing to step back, and you have to be willing to step up. So let's talk about that just for a second, and then I want to get back to what we were talking about, okay? When it said, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not by force, but willingly. Are you willing to step forward when you know God wants you to step forward? Are you willing to lay down, but I don't want to? So now that leads us into what I wanted to say about, or felt like God wanted me to say, about this idea of laying your life down. You see, it's not about what I want. There's two kingdoms. Remember, we talk about everything is real simple. But there's a kingdom of pride and a kingdom of humility. See, when you get everything real simple in front of you, it's easy to figure things out when you're in situations. You're talking to somebody and you're like, are they in the kingdom of pride or in the kingdom of humility? They may sound right, but is it a kingdom of, they may not be in the right spirit. So if they're not in the right spirit, even if what they're saying may sound right, it's not God because it's not in the right spirit. Do you understand? Does that make sense? So when you get these real simple things, is what they're saying life or death? Is there pride or humility? Is there submission or rebellion? Is there obedience or disobedience? It makes everything real simple because you can look at your own life that way. And it makes it real simple. I need to stop and repent, get my heart right. I need to stop and repent. I need to listen. One thing I want to talk about in this laying your life down is if it's about me, okay, for example, let's say we're having a leadership meeting and you're in it. And everybody, we've prayed about it and we're talking about it and everybody seems to be going in the same direction but you. But I want, but I think, but I feel, but my idea. And what if, as the leader, I don't want to do this, but what if God said to me to say to you, brother, sister, everybody is saying everything and everything seems to be going in the same direction. And we have peace with that, but you seem to be opposing. And we'll pray about whatever you said, but would you be willing to consider that today maybe it's not about God, it's about you? Would you be willing to sit down? Would you be willing to be quiet? Would you be willing to step out? What if God puts you in a position and then takes you out of that position? You get all excited about that position. But then God says, okay, take him out of that position. I'd like to invite you to come and sing on the worship group. Okay? I felt like God wanted me to do that now, but I don't feel it. Well, I've been wanting to do that so much. And then, but then afterwards, it's like God's like, okay, he takes away the leader's peace and says, I don't want them there now. Now, God could put them there, like today, Sue being at the hospital. She didn't understand. She wanted to be here. But she just kept feeling like that's what God wanted. It's not about what she wants. It's about what he wants. Do you understand? So to be on leadership, God's leadership, because do we see that in, do we see that kind of attitude or choices in our president? Or in, is it about God or is it about him and his will and his agenda? Or senators or congressmen leaders, people that are Ted Turners and Bill Gates and people that are rich and Do we hear that kind of attitude? Is that their kind of choices? Show me one sometime. My point is that we're talking about God's leadership. What God wants for leadership. And what God wants for leadership is being completely submissive to God. Now, let's say we're having a leadership meeting and everybody is all saying one thing and it seems, but the one person, they're saying what God once said, but the others weren't willing to do it. Okay? But if they were asked to sit back, because I've been asked to sit back when I was in leadership. And I had a pastor one time, he asked me to be a deacon. And I said, well, I can't be a deacon for you. He said, why? I said, because I'm not a yes man. He said, I don't want a yes man. I said, well, the rest of them are. And I said, how come every time we have a business meeting, you tell me I can't say anything till afterwards, and then you take a vote before I can say anything? I said, you want a yes man. You may not realize you want a yes man, but you do. And because of that, I can't be one of your deacons. I want to release the worship team and we're going to be done here. Not that we're done, but we'll just talk about this another time. But let's ask God to show us. Let's ask God to search our hearts. And I just want to say something in response to what Terry said earlier. I don't want anyone to beat themselves up. I don't want anyone to think, okay, see, we need to have goals, what we're aiming at, but we need to realize we're never going to make it. Do you understand? It's like our goal is Matthew 5:48. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, complete, spiritually mature. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's our goal. Are we ever going to be perfect?
No.
So that's what we need to do. Not make excuses and say, well, I'll never be perfect. So I'll just live at this level, just accept what I do, you know, realize I'll never be perfect, you're not perfect. No, not that, but don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Realize we're works in progress. Look at the video of your life. Are you closer today than you were 2 months ago? Okay. Then you're on the right track. Did you fall? Oh, yeah. Did you mess up? Oh, yeah. Did your big mouth get in the way? Oh, yeah. Did your attitude get out? Oh, yeah. Did you bring it to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you? Ask Him to forgive you for causing His pain through your sin? Yeah. Good. Then it's under the blood. Now, Jesus, how can I not repeat that? So when I look at the video 2 months from now, it'll be better than what I'm seeing now? Okay. Okay?
Amen.
Good. Jesus, commit this time into your hands. We just love you. You're so awesome. We just commit this time into your hands, looking forward, and ask you to pave the way and make it smooth and break down any obstacle of anybody coming here. And we say thank you, Jesus. Amen.